What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode with the Power of a Growth Mindset. These last few weeks, Mike and I have been pretty busy, but there has been a lot of good going on behind the scenes, both in our personal and professional lives, but also with this platform. And so for this episode, we really want to take some time to not only just update y'all on what's going on for ourselves, what's going on around us in our particular communities, but also really want to just shed some light and just check in. That's something that I know we've talked through the last few weeks, Mike, where we do wanted to create a space for ourselves to check in with one another. So I'm curious, man, because you've got a lot going on in your life. One, how are you doing? But two, shed some light on what's going on.
Yeah, man. So one, appreciate you for showing up this evening, man. As we oftentimes talk about give flowers while people are living, I just want to say thank you so much for, showing up this weekend and just creating a space to be in community with myself and the platform and our audience. But for me, I think, how am I doing? I think I can answer that in a way where I can be honest on this platform.
Be honest, but, man. Please be honest with us. Cause that's, look, I was going to say, be real, keep it real, keep it 100. Just let us know.
Yeah. So I think, this week was quite stressful. With so much going on, within my personal life at work and also, within the business that I manage, and it was a lot happening. I took the time out yesterday, to, get at least, I think, 14 hours of sleep. Like, I literally slept half of the day, and we celebrated my grandmother, her 92nd birthday. Mm-hmm. And that was a beautiful memory for me, but also for her. But one thing I would like to say as I show up tonight, is I'm thankful for the space that I'm walking into. I'm thankful for the opportunities that, the Creator has allowed me to be able to see. Sometimes people look at my life and say, man, like, I wish I could be you, or dang, man, like, you had it all. Like, I know your story. And sometimes they don't see before college. They see post-college, and they're just like, yo, I wish I had your life. Like, everything you have is like so this and so that. And I'm just like, bro, if you only knew. Mm-hmm. And but as I look at everything that as I reflect, I think I'm showing up in a space where I'm just thankful, but I'm also open to what's next. I'm open to just not necessarily being challenged, but I'm open to limitless possibilities, to the point where whatever comes next, I'm not saying I'm gonna jump on it, but I think I have now developed the discernment to be able to understand what's for me and what's not for me. And I think that's very important as I continue on my entrepreneurship journey, but also as I continue to just show up as a leader, advocate, social justice advocate, and all these other titles that I oftentimes hold. So, like I said, bro, I'm thankful to be here. I'm completely open to what's next. And that's where I'm at, man.
That's dope, man. That's dope. I love the idea that you said with openness, because I think as we think about what's going on with the seasons, we're moving into fall. And fall is not only a prime time to just kind of shed and let some things go, but it's also a time to reflect. And a time to start thinking about, as you start closing out some journeys, start closing out some chapters or finishing a process, we slowly start making those plans for what comes in the new year. And then, of course, start blooming and planting seeds and doing all that going into the spring of next year. So I am curious, though, in this space of openness that you're in, if you could touch on one of the things that you're most excited about in this season of openness that you're in.
I think one thing that I am excited about is the opportunity to your boy about to be international. So I don't know, bro. I've definitely been out of the country before. I have not been out of the country to do the work that I'm doing now, though. And as we all know, I am not one to wake up or go to sleep dreaming about labor. So I don't have a dream job, but I am just excited to know that what I'm going to do as I travel to Athens is going to be an opportunity for me to continue the work that I do in my business. I think it's very important for me to understand that, a lot of people say be humble, but it's not that I'm not humble, but it's like I'm owed that opportunity because I have put in the work, and I'm graceful because that could have been anyone and not me. And so I think that is one thing that I'm most like for looking for, because for me, I don't like speaking on I say that I have stage fright and I don't like speaking openly in public, but I speak a lot. And so I think it's something that is selling myself short. And that is something that myself and my coach slash mentor is we constantly talk about for myself is stop playing it small. You and I had that conversation last week. We wasn't directly talking about me, but it was more so like, ooh, I received that. Sometimes you want to grow in an environment that was never meant for you to actually grow in. It was more so for you to gain exposure and get what you need and get out, but you nevertheless trying to make a whole living arrangement within the mess you living in. And so it's I think, bro, all in all, that I'm looking forward to this opportunity. And I know that I will continue to touch millions and millions and millions of people's lives. And this is not even just the beginning. This is the process. I think I think a lot of people say this is only the beginning, but nah, this is the process. This is the process to the grand thing that is going to be what really move me and continue to develop myself.
Well, I think to add on to that, man, I think, we often say sometimes you have to just begin. And you've began the process. And where you're at now is you're in a space where it's like, okay, I recognize where I'm at. I may have hit a few speed bumps or whatever you may call it, a couple road bumps along the way, but now it's like you're gaining the experience, you're gaining the skills, you're pivoting in that experience, and you're figuring out how to just navigate those waters. And now it's like, okay, as you had mentioned, you're getting to that destination, but starting was the most important thing.
Definitely, man. And I think for within the season, kind of piggyback off what you're saying, like it's beginning somewhere. And I think that's where we can get stuck because we feel like, and I know I have felt this way, and I have encountered and engaged in conversation with others who have felt the same way. We talk about, like, well, we got to have this business plan. We got to have this done. We have to have this done. We have to have all of this, the whole nine yards. And it's just like you trying to build a website, but you don't have no clients. You trying to get a CPA and you haven't even got your first offer. And it's like kind of like what you said, begin somewhere. That is, yeah, that's important. Yes, that's equally important, but you got to have that mindset to understand that you need to begin somewhere. And that's how we curated this platform, The Power of a Growth Mindset, because that mindset helps you to understand that sometimes just beginning is the solution. And kind of like what I said in the post, as you begin, as you are exposed to something, somebody somewhere is going to say, ooh, I like that. I want to invest in that. And then sometimes maybe that's not the case. And sometimes you got to restart. Sometimes you got to go backwards. Sometimes you'll be able to move forward. And so I want to just highlight, yes, that is true. That is true. Sometimes just beginning is the solution. And with time, some things will fall in place.
That's real. That's 100% real. I think you know, like you had mentioned, just having that end goal in mind and knowing that, hey, this is where I want to go. But hey, one foot over the other is what we always preach. And it's something that I've always learned growing up, where it's like, hey, you know, it may not be perfect, it may not be how you wanted to start off, but
Right.
starting is gonna get you going.
And
So
that's how you make mistakes.
oh yeah.
When you
You gotta
start,
fail. You gotta fail.
that's how you make mistakes, 'cause I promise you, if you're trying to start a business, there you may not fail for as like financially, but something in your business is gonna go wrong. It every is I'm not saying it's not gonna be easy. I'm not saying it's gonna be easy, but there's gonna be something where you will be challenged. And if you're not careful, you can fail.
That's true.
And not necessarily failing as everything goes to complete waste, but sometimes it's just like retrying a different method to get a different solution. And so, you know, that's something that I have been very appreciative of, and having that push and been trying my best to be consistent, but also understanding that sometimes you have to give the presentation 20%. I'm sorry, sometimes you have to give the PowerPoint 20% so you can give the presentation 80%. And you know, we oftentimes say we have to go 100%, and that's not necessarily the case, because sometimes some things just don't deserve 100%. For example, if you're working on a job and you know your hours are 9 to 5, don't be at home at 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock talking about something you still don't work for your 9 to 5. Like, yo, work on that talent, work on that craft, perfecting that craft. And or just making it better. Don't like sometimes we try to strive for perfect, and that can become overwhelming. But sometimes we just strive for improvement, progress.
Facts. That's
And
facts.
you know, for me, that is something that I'm learning and continuing to allow that to be a part of my lifestyle, because that is what moved me. And so whenever the clock turns 4 o'clock, I'm out. I'm not staying. Don't call me. Don't call me. I'm not checking no email. And it's
Right.
nothing personal. I love what I do. It's nothing personal. But I understand I have a business. I understand that I have to show up in certain areas as a brother, as an uncle. And so that's what I value. And for me, I think doing things that I am being a part of things that I value and living the lifestyle that I value is more important than living a lifestyle and doing things for others that they value. So, yeah.
That's real, man. I feel like what you have spoke on is kind of you know, where I'm connecting with the message that you're saying, because that's just kind of where I'm at. You know, I think when, you know, as I'm hearing you speak, and I'm thinking about just like my own personal self-reflection and, you know, some of the things that I've wanted to accomplish or want to accomplish. I'm kind of taking that broader step back and reevaluating a lot of things in terms of, you know, how I'm operating in my family, in my friendships, how I'm operating day to day at work. Because, you know, I think, you know, as you talked on this period of openness, I think I'm in this period of not even really like self-reflection, just like, I guess I'm in a period of I'm trying to hit that restart button in a way, because it is, you know, I think I've accomplished a lot this year. I have hit a lot of highs. I've had my low moments as well. But now it's like, what's next? And as you had mentioned, you know, in your journey, you're gonna have those ups and downs. You're gonna have those moments where things are working or things aren't working. But you got to be open to pivoting. And it may be trying something new. And that's kind of where I'm at is, you know, as I think about the last few weeks, you know, I've had a lot of highs the last few weeks. But now it's like everything is just kind of quiet and the dust settles. You start asking yourself those tough questions where it's like, okay, like what is next for me? Or, hey, you know what? I accomplished this many tasks or these many goals, but you know, I may have fell short on, you know, goal number 4, 5, or 6, however many you got set up. And so, you know, where I'm at in this journey, where I'm at just overall and just life, is I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to hit that restart, So that way, as I start moving into the later part of this year and then early next year, I'm challenging myself. I am becoming a little bit more uncomfortable. I think I'm a little comfortable right now. That's and you know me almost better than I know myself. I don't like to be comfortable. So I wanna be in a position as I start moving into the next year where I'm like, okay, I'm challenging a lot of the things that I'm doing. So that way I'm becoming a better me and getting to where I need to go.
Yeah, that's the word that I took from that what you just said, man, was uncomfortable. We talked about that. I think I want to say last week, you know, they said when you're uncomfortable, that's when you are growing or the opportunity is there for you to grow. And the next following question is, but what about when you are uncomfortable? But you don't feel like you belong in the space that you're growing in. And, you know, I would love to talk about that on this platform because, well, pause. Was that your complete
It was basically
check-in?
my check-in. Like that was basically my you good to transition though. Go ahead, man.
My bad, bro. It's still, hey, it's still love here, man.
All good. All good, man.
It just literally went like what you said, it sparked something. And, you know, I wanted to
Go ahead,
keep
man.
on.
Go
But
ahead.
you know, let's talk about that, man. 'Cause you know, we say, oh, when you're uncomfortable, that's when you're growing and that's when you've been challenged, and that's when you find out your weakness and your strengths. Yeah, that is true. But what about when you are also uncomfortable, but you feel like you don't belong? And some people call that imposter syndrome. And some people call that, well, my boss don't like me because I'm black or white, Hispanic, whatever the case may be, or I'm gay, whatever the case may be. So it's just like I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that, man.
Yeah, it's a loaded question because I think we briefly touched on this last week, but I'm a firm believer in when things aren't going your way, or in this case, you are in an environment or a situation that you feel like you're not being supported, you're not being encouraged, and you don't feel like you belong. Sometimes those experiences are some of the biggest lessons or stepping stones that are going to get you where you want to go. And I can list off a number of examples. I've had them through work. I've had them through being an athlete growing up. I've had that being in certain situations as a kid and even as an adult. But ultimately, it's hard to, and this is what I always tell folks, it's hard to see the big picture when you feel like you're just the world is just beating on you all the time, or you feel like you're not, All right, man. I think we in it. Can you hear me? Can you hear
Much
me?
better.
All right, we're gonna go without the headphones. So we gonna improvise. But as I mentioned, you know, you're gonna be in these situations and in these environments where, you know, you may not feel supported and get what you need to. But sometimes these lessons are the stepping stones that you need that are ultimately gonna get you where you need to go. And so, you know, we talk about this all the time, Mike. You have to sometimes you've got to go through some things. Learn some things, get what you need out of the experience, and then go. And that's perfectly okay. But ultimately, that uncomfortableness, right, is going to give you it may change your way of thinking. It may change your processes. It may change how you approach certain situations. So when you are brought into the next situation, you know how to handle it. I'll give you a prime example. The Duke's women's basketball coach. There was a video that was out a couple weeks ago, and she talks about how sometimes they're not the coaching staff isn't preparing them to make sure that things get easy. They're preparing them to take hard things and be able to handle harder things. Because as you know, in life, we get beat down. We have certain situations that we may not be comfortable in, and sometimes it's hard to handle. However, to this point that you had of how do you manage this? You know, you get through the situation, you attack the situation, you learn from whatever life is throwing you, and then eventually you pivot into something that's going to allow you to thrive. So that was a long-winded answer and a couple technical difficulties. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts, man. You know, as you start thinking through, you know, the different situations and life experiences that you've been in, you know, how do you handle those types of situations?
Yeah, I think all in all, man, I kind of like forgot the question. I think all in all, bro, I think it's more of a, it's like you have to take like a philosophical approach and understand not necessarily the why, but how. How did I get here? And how am I going to leave here? Especially if you feel like you're uncomfortable. I feel like sometimes we can position ourselves to get into some. And then I feel like we can position ourselves to get out of some things.
Sure.
And sometimes I do believe that opportunities just come to those who create them. And sometimes we just be chilling and bam, here we go into this opportunity. But if you don't have the discernment to be able to understand, like, is this really for me? Do I really want to put forth the emotions and everything else that I need to be presently, to be present in that situation? Then that's the question to ask. But I think it's important to understand, like, the going back to the how and why. And how is this serving me, and knowing when it's time to leave? I get that. I feel like every opportunity is a learning experience. I think for each obstacle and each position that we have ever held and will continue to hold, I think there's something to get out of it. And I think we have to be very wise, and we have to approach it from the lens of, well, we don't have to do anything but stay what is needed to basically live. But I think it's fair to look at it through a lens of, you know, why am I in this position? How is it serving me? And where am I trying to be? And is it in alignment with what I'm trying to do? And, you know, going back to the original question that I asked, they say that when you're uncomfortable, that's when you're growing and learning. And I think for me, that is true. That is true, because even when I'm uncomfortable, or even when I'm at the point of having like anxiety or whatever the case may be, that connects and lead to the uncomfortableness. I think for me, I'm finding a way to either get comfortable or get out the situation. And I think that's when I'm most creative.
Yeah.
Honestly. It's because it's just like I'm not going to say the creative genius in me is activated, but it's just like, it's activated in a sense. It's just like, okay, so I don't like this. Mm-hmm. So either I'm going to adapt to what they got going on, or I'm going to find a way to get what I need and get up out of here. And I think that is more so my mindset, because I'm very innovative. But understand that you have to keep the eye on the prize and understand that you don't have to be the situation that you're around, but that could be what you need in order to move forward, because it could be an opportunity. It could be a skill. It could be whatever it is to propel you forward and to where you're trying to go. And that I understand that that is not the same for everybody. And I don't want everybody to take what I said and just say, oh, that's what I'm going through. That's my season. That's it. Mm-hmm. But understand that is many of us, but we can't call it. We can't name it, because we're not 100% sure of what season we're in, because we don't take the time to analyze, reflect, and look at and problem solve.
Mm. You actually bring up something. You bring up a good point, and I was just thinking about it as it kind of relates to, I think, situations that we've both been in. You know, whether you're religious or not, you know, for me and you as well, you know, we've often had conversations where it's like, you know, we're in situations that we don't care to be in. We're trying to get out, but we're praying on it, but we're not getting prayers answered. We don't feel like, you know, things are happening in our life. But I also believe that sometimes in these situations, the thing that you're praying for, the thing that you're hoping for, to your point, is that's when your prayer kind of gets answered in a way. And it may not be how you wanted it to be.
Come on, somebody. Hey,
but
yes.
It is teaching you to listen. Listen to your thoughts, listen to your feelings, listen to what I like to say, big homie upstairs, what he's trying to get you to see. Because sometimes there's just so much noise that ultimately kind of engulfs your mindset. It can change your mindset. It can get you off focus. But when you stop to reflect and you realize, like, to your point, this isn't the situation I'm trying to be in. I'm not getting what I need to. I don't feel comfortable, whatever it may be. That's also the moment for, you know, big homie upstairs, where you're like, okay, now I'm focused. I know what I don't want to do. I know I can manage the situation differently, or I can pivot to another situation, or I need to get up out of here and I need to have a game plan. Like you said, getting creative on how you handle it. But I feel like those are the moments, the uncomfortableness that teach you how to get you to that next step. I know that was a long-winded kind of feedback, but I didn't want to let a moment slide, because I feel like that's something that we've learned to manage throughout the process.
Definitely, man. And also, to your point, it's just like, oftentimes we'll say, well, you know, it's a praying time, you know, like, let somebody, Lord Jesus, God forbid, let Pookie get shot on the street. Oh, it's Lord. A praying time. Like, bro, every day is a praying time. Not just because Pookie got shot, but every day is a praying. It's time to pray, but it's also time to make action.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we can, and when I say we, individuals that fall within this particular category that I'm speaking of, we can get so focused on the praying to the point where we don't act. And, you know, God has blessed us to be different things, different people, creative. And, you know, everybody's not going to be the leader. Everybody's not going to be in a position to free other people and all this other great stuff. But everybody has a role.
Yes.
And everyone has a part. And it's just so important to understand that, you know, you can pray, but also you have to put in the work as well. And there's a fine balance in between. And it's just not solely prayer. Prayer does change things, but you have a part. It's not all left up to the Creator to just solve everything. He has given us somewhat of the power and sometimes the full power to make the decision. And some things are just out of our control. And so I just wanted to highlight that, you know, sometimes we say we can pray things, but sometimes you got to do more, just more than pray. That's not the end all be all. There's a process. We have a part. And I think that's very important for us to understand. But yeah, bro, that's real. That is real.
That's real. So let me ask you this, man. So thinking through, you know, all the stuff that's going on, I think one of the things that we challenged a lot of our folks on in September was to get, in a way, breaking some habits, getting uncomfortable in certain situations, you know, reprioritizing their mental and physical health. I think ultimately the challenge was a success, because we've had a lot of folks who've come back. They have talked about new habits that they've put in their lives. Maybe they've talked on. I know we got a message not the other day where it was like, oh, I missed this, but I'm getting back on the horse and trying it again. But, you know, ultimately, as you think about the challenge and not only just the challenge, but the getting uncomfortable and everything that we've touched on, like, what are your thoughts and takeaways from last month?
I think the challenge at large was something that it was an opportunity for us to encourage others to be a part of, but also just curate a space for yourself, in a sense, to sometimes free yourself from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that was definitely that for me. You know, sometimes I, as I reflect back on the challenge on the last day, you know, literally have been all day without, you know, just giving. And then the only thing I gave myself was a bath when I went to sleep. And, you know, that's not healthy. I don't care who you think you are and all the gifts that you think you pose and you have and whatever. But I don't think that's healthy in a sense. I know it's not for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that particular challenge challenged me to be intentional. You know, oftentimes I didn't necessarily post about it, but I did engage in it. And things, especially when it says spend some time with someone that you love or a family member, you know, that was intentional for me because, you know, with my schedule, sometimes I live in the same house with my people and barely say 2 to 3 words because I'm either leaving before they get up and I'm coming back when they're asleep. And so, you know, just being intentional, you're like, you know what, I'm leaving work early today so I can get home and spend time with grandma, or I'm leaving work early today, or I'm doing this today so that I can be able to check this off. And not in a sense as a compliance thing, but as a sense of creating that lifestyle, what I want to have as I move forward and continue to grow and develop. And I think with that, some of those activities that I engaged in, for example, journaling, you know, that was something that I started over the summer and kind of was like fell off, but actually documenting each day and how I did it and how I showed up, it helped me to like, yo, this can actually become a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so I would say the challenge itself, you know, there was never a day that I was just like, man, I don't want to do this. It was more so I woke up like, man, how am I going to do this? Mm-hmm. Like, what is this going to look like? And, you know, as I look back on it, I'm just like, okay, so here's September. What's next?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the September is over. What's next? So we're in October. And so what's next for me? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me, I think I'm going to do it all over again. And I'm going to even be more creative, more intentional, and not necessarily applying pressure, but showing up.
Yeah.
And making more time for myself, because I think I give and I give and I give and I give and I give. And then in return, it's just like, who is there to give to you? And we have this thing saying, as a counselor, is we are there for other people, but who is there for the support team? Because you have to support the teachers, you have to support the students, you have to support the parents, you have to support everyone else, but who is there to support the support team, right? And so, you know, that is how I kind of, not necessarily live my life, but that's something that's constantly ringing the bell in my heart, is I have to create what I need in order for me to still show up. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is someone else's duty and job and responsibility to make me happy. I have to find happiness for myself. Mm-hmm. And I have to allow that to be my expectation. So whenever I'm in a relationship, I'm not saying to my partner, it's your job to make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's more so my responsibility to continue to ensure that I'm happy,
right,
by doing the things that I love, but also understanding the diversity of impact when I'm in a relationship, of understanding I have to find a balance now because now I have a partner. And so I think for me, bro, to answer your question, for me, it was like a full circle moment after I did a reflection, like, yo, it wasn't something that I'm like, yo, I missed this in my life, but it was something that made me be a little bit more intentional than what I was doing before.
Mm, yeah, I love what you said there. And not even just intentional, but timely, I think. You know, as to add on to what you were saying, you know, this past month, I think, you know, I didn't get every day. And I think there were some days where you're like, I may have like missed it. But I also challenged myself on the days that I did miss to ensure that I at least circled back. So there were a few days where I did double up, where it was like, all right, I'm gonna spend some time, but I'm also gonna journal, or I'm gonna, you know, I might journal and then I might go for a walk. But, you know, I think, to your point, the challenge for the month, isn't just something that just stops in September. You know, your mental, your physical health, what you prioritize, the things that you love and enjoy and get out of life. You know, for me, it's like, as I look at the month, it's an everyday thing. It's 365. It doesn't just stop, in September. And so, you know, for our folks who are tuning in, if you didn't, participate in the challenge, or you participated for a week or half the month or one day, whatever that may be, take a second, reflect. You know, Mike has said, I'm going to redo the challenge. You may redo the challenge, or you may figure out how you're going to, you know, once a week, make sure that you're bringing that wellness into your life, because it can make some positive changes all for the better. So, you know, I'm happy with the outcome. I'm glad, one, that you got some out of it, because I know I definitely did. And I know a lot of other folks also who participated really got something out of it as well.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's really good. And I challenge you, man, to maybe begin, take this journey again in October, especially for the days that you did miss. And, you know, one, having that ownership and, you know, maturity to be able to own that you missed that, and you're wanting to go back in, or you were able to go back and, you know, get those days completed. But I encourage you to, you know, try that again for October, and maybe that's being more intentional about getting all 30 days. And what will that look like? How can I continue to prioritize myself? Cause, you know, I oftentimes get on you. I'm like, bro, why you don't work at 12 o'clock? Like, bro, it's not okay.
Yeah.
And not, you know, I understand like the responsibility owed to our place of employment, but at the same time, like, bro, no, you know, no. So, you know, you create that lifestyle where it's going to be what you want, but at the same time, you know, take care of yourself, because, you know, we do a lot for these jobs, and we die today, our position will be posted tonight, and, you know, we will be a thought in a teardrop, and he lived a good life, and then the next week, or maybe even the next day, or after your funeral, it'll be, you know, more so regular routine. And so I'm not saying don't give nothing to the job, but what I'm saying is don't leave yourself out during the process.
100%. 100% agree. Go ahead, bro.
Go ahead, man.
I made the last transition. Go ahead, bro.
I didn't know we were transitioning, but I was going to ask a question. But, you know, I want to highlight something that, you know, is kind of, I ain't going to say near and dearest to me, but more so a topic that we often, is very controversial in the United States, especially when the return of investment is not necessarily there. But, you know, in North Carolina, is college application week. Yes. I'm coming up next week. And I wanted to talk about, you know, on our platform. So while I recognize who our audience is, but we do have a small population of individuals who are high school students, who are also or maybe college and also working professionals who have kids or siblings that who are transitioning to high school. So I think it's important for us to just be able to acknowledge acknowledge, share our experiences, and also just talk about this particular process. And so with college application week, I think it's important for us to just highlight how this particular week is creating opportunity for students in the state of North Carolina to apply to certain selected colleges for free. And with that being said, it's not every single college. There is a list of colleges that can be found if you just Google North Carolina College Application Week. And you will see some of the schools. And what I'm happy to see is some of the HBCUs that are up here. Because I think whenever I was applying and going through the process, I don't think A&T or Central was on that list. It could have been, but I don't think it was. But that's besides the point. So, you know, with this segment or this particular time on the platform, I just want to say, you know, going into an application week is, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. Mm-hmm. It's not a process where you'll want to do the day before the application deadline. Having worked in admissions before, is it's important that you read. You know, reading is fundamental, and it's important that we read to understand what is asking of us, whether it's in the personal statement, which a lot of colleges, they pay a lot of attention to the personal statement, especially whenever they're getting applications where everybody in the class that's coming in have like a 5.0 GPA. And just like, okay, how do we make a decision? Student A, student B. Mm-hmm. You're always involved in extracurricular activities. And so it's just like, you want to ensure that your nephew, your cousin, your friend, Pookie, little Johnny, whoever it is that you will be helping next week, or even if you're not in the state of North Carolina, and I understand that we have a platform that are across 7 different countries, even if you're applying to colleges and or trade schools and stuff like that, even when you're applying, even maybe to a job, that you read the content to gain an understanding of what is being asked of you to do, and then select people to be able to speak on your behalf. And I, Gandy, I'm allowing you to speak on this as well. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the letter of recommendations, and I know NC State is not on that list for college application week, but I know we didn't accept recommendation letters when I was working in admissions. However, having worked at a school that did, and now having served on the interview committee, and now have been a reference for other people, it is critical and super important that you get somebody that know you.
100%.
And get somebody that has the time to actually write a recommendation letter for you, because don't get your pastor that don't know you, or he haven't saw you since last Easter or 5 Easters ago before the pandemic. And he up here scraping up words to try to get you a solid recommendation letter, because we're going to be able to see that. Because mm-hmm. I promise you, whenever, or not we, I'm not on the committee, but they will be able to see that. Because I promise you, having read applications and also through my volunteer experience and when I was working for the College Bound Foundation, you know, having reading scholarship applications and you know, some of the recommendation letters, I'm just like, this person don't know the student at all. Mm-mm. Like, you literally wrote word for word from the resume to the person, recommendation letter, and I'm just like, bro, really? And I get it. I get it, because we want to make sure. Because I think the society we live in has associated title with prestige, mm-hmm. versus authenticity with reality.
Yeah.
And I think it's just critical, if your supervisor knows you well and they are able to clearly articulate the question, an answer that answers the question, mm-hmm. and it's authentic, then you will have a better chance versus trying to get the president to write a letter for you and he don't know who you are. Because I promise you, not every school is looking for who wrote the letter. It's mm-hmm. what they're saying about you that's equally important. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I just want to make sure that we all are a part of that conversation and have that awareness and understanding, even if it's not just for college application week, it's for trying to get a job, mm-hmm. or it's trying to, you know, fulfill an opportunity through volunteer. And me personally, I just had to do a reference, I would say last week, and they asked me about this individual, and they were like, what is this person work ethic like? Can you name some strengths and some weaknesses? And I'm just like, I tell people, don't put me down as a reference and not let me know mm-hmm. that you put me down as a reference. Because the person called and I don't answer possible spam calls. And so they kept calling. I was just like, you know, I put on my fake disguise voice, and I was just like, no, he don't live here. And that's mm-hmm. when they were like, well, we'll try to reach out to the applicant and let them know that we have the wrong number. I'm just like, oh, okay. Oh, so sorry. And so, you know, I say that to say this, just when you're going through the application process, it's critical to understand what are they asking you to do, and what is the process that you need to go through in order to let people know in advance? So if you know that you're interested, you know, send your resume to your recommenders and like, hey, I'm interested in applying in these following schools. Do you mind serving as a recommender for me? They say, yes, cool. Here's my resume. I ask that you just be honest and blah, 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 and kind of go from there. Don't just be putting their name down. They don't know you. And the last time they talked to you was when you came to Easter church or came to the event 5-10 years ago, because that's not going to work. That's not going to get you in. That's going to get you waitlisted or rejected. Mm-hmm. And so that's just my point of view. I know I'll share my experience a little later, but Gandhi, feel free to jump in or piggyback off what I said. Or
yeah, no, I'll piggyback. I think the biggest thing, and this is for parents, students, you know, future applicants, you know, make sure that you're taking the time. You know, the actual process in itself, it is long. Everything from, you know, the submission to collecting the letter, making the letters of recommendation to getting the transcript to making sure that everything's mailed in where it needs to go. And I know a lot of stuff is electronic now. I know I had to mail some stuff in back when I was going through it. But, you know, making sure that at each step of the application, you've done your due diligence. You know, adding on to what you were saying about folks who do refer you, you know, whether it's for the college application process or a full-time job or, you know, trade school admission, whatever it may be. What I always tell folks is make sure that you are finding people who know you from things that you've been involved in to, you know, as you mentioned, Mike, your work ethic, because when somebody asks about you or they're asked to write that letter, they can give and paint the picture on who you are and why you should be accepted or given this job and so forth. So I just recommend everyone, wherever you're at in the process, make sure that one, you are paying attention to the deadlines, because they are approaching fast, but also making sure that you aren't missing any step of the application, so that way everything is fully filled out and is submitted on time.
Did you, was there a school that you wanted to apply to, but you, because of your lack of thereof, you were not able to apply because you missed the deadline?
So to make a long story short, what school? It's been a few years. I do remember when I was going through the process, I was going through it in the state of Michigan. So I wasn't doing it in North Carolina at the time. When I was going through it, there were a few schools that were on my list that I had overlooked. And didn't realize that I had an opportunity to apply to them for free. And so I missed that opportunity. And, you know, some places I had to come out of pocket. Some places I was like, you know what, I'm just forget it. I'm not going to apply. Because, you know, when you're doing that on your own, you're not doing it through this process, those applications begin to add up. So going back to what you were saying, Mike, it's important that you're reading and you're taking the time to make sure that you're hitting deadlines and you've got all the right stuff going into this process.
Yeah, I think that's important, man. Deadlines are important, and I know for an individual who applied to, I think straight out of high school, I didn't apply to hardly any schools, but graduate school, I applied to several, and those application fees were crazy. They were stupid crazy. And so, you know, if you do have siblings that live, or a loved one, a cousin, friend, mama, auntie, whoever, that has not yet gotten like a bachelor's degree or, you know, or any type of degree I think associate's degree maybe too, in like trade schools and stuff like that, if they live in the state of North Carolina, North Carolina schools, universities and colleges are waiving application fees on cfnc.org. Again, that is cfnc.org/C2C. And that is during the week of October the 17th through the 21st. And there's several schools on this list. I see North Carolina Central, Methodist, A&T, Wesleyan, Winston-Salem State, William Peace, Western Carolina, Pembroke, Asheville, Shaw, Salem, St. Aug, Queens University, Elizabeth City, East Carolina, Shawan, Catawba, the list goes on, even Campbell University and all 58 North Carolina community colleges. So I'm not saying everyone needs to just take advantage of this opportunity and go to college, because I understand the return of investment. So please do have a plan. I'm not telling you to just go out here and just apply because it's free, because I promise you, once you get in or you get denied, hopefully you get in, you need to have a plan, because if you have no plan, you will fail. And understand, I understand, just begin. But once you begin the application process, you need to know what's next, okay? You need to know, okay, well, now that I've applied, I may be going in as undecided, or I don't know yet, but this is my initial start. So you know what the next thing I'm going to do is, I'm going to reach out to the school, and actually before the deadline, I'm going to reach to the school and ask them what opportunities do they have. So if you're interested in electric or carpentry or engineer, whatever the case may be, look at the school that you're interested in, look at the list, and then see what interests you. And then once you have somewhat of an interest, reach out to that school, speak to an admissions rep, speak to somebody. I'm sure somebody will answer your question and have a conversation with them. And sometimes you may not know what to ask, and that's perfectly fine, because Google is here to help. So you can ask, what are some questions do you ask an admissions specialist? Google that, and that will give you an idea what to ask an admissions specialist. Don't worry about financial aid right now, okay? That's besides the point. Get in first. Get in, and then that's when you worry about that. And so once that step is complete and you have a better understanding, if that interests you, like, okay, I think this is something I want to explore. Apply, you know, or maybe even do more research. I encourage everyone to do research before applying to these schools, but do your research. And understand like the investment that it's going to take, and the weigh the pros and cons and go from there. But begin. If this is for you, if this is for your cousin, if this is for your mama that's keep promising you she's going to go back to school or whatever the case may be, you know, if you're going for, I think it's undergraduate degrees, and I want to say associate degrees as well, being that it's community colleges, then if that school is on this list, then they are waiving college application fees. There could be other schools who are doing the same exact thing that's not on this list. And they may be doing it through like ACT waivers, SAT waivers, and NACAT waivers. So I would just say reach out to the school that you're interested in, and then they will be able to give you further information for as what the application costs. I even know for grad schools, I know there's a lot of universities out here, if you went to a HBCU or MSI institution, they are waiving your graduate application fee. Yeah, there we go. So I encourage everyone, you know, this is a season where we're constantly changing and growing and developing. If this is for you, I'm not forcing nobody to go to college. I'm just saying, if this opportunity is for you, this is an opportunity to take advantage of. If it's not, that's perfectly fine. There's millions of ways to make money. There's millions of ways to be successful. However, you have to begin somewhere.
That's real, man. I as you had mentioned, just follow up, I'm just encouraging everyone. CFNC, definitely take the time if you are going to take part in this process. Start gathering materials, read up, ask questions, reach out to the universities. But then, of course, you know, at the end of the day, we want to make sure that everybody's successful. So take the time, do your research, and get after it.
So, man, as we come to a close, what is your takeaway?
Man, we unpacked a lot. I feel like we talked a lot of stuff. But I think my biggest takeaway, from today is as we start moving into this new season, as we start kind of reprioritizing, finding things that are for us, finding things that aren't for us, you know, kind of like you were saying, keep an open mind, but also begin. I don't know what that's going to look like for you know, yourself, myself, and it's going to look different for everybody, but begin. You know, the hardest thing and that we all kind of experience is we always you know what, we miss one day and we're like, oh, we can get to it tomorrow. Or, you know, we miss this opportunity and we believe that, you know, it might come back again. But at the end of the day, if we're not doing our due diligence, we aren't finding it in ourselves to truly just begin, whether that may begin going to the gym in the morning or going for a walk or reading one page of a book versus a chapter, like you have to begin somewhere. And all the other things will fall into place. But beginning is the first step in any journey. And be open to pivoting, being open to, you know, being open to new experiences, but not being afraid of the situation or the uncomfortableness that you may experience, because at the end of the day, these are just stepping stones to get you to that final destination. So that's my biggest takeaway for today. What about you,
man? That was a lot. We got to cut that down to one word in the future. But I would say my biggest takeaway from this is understanding your position. If you are in the just begin stage, claim that, own that. And if you are in the stage where you are completely open to what's next, own that and live in that and get all you can out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that every day is a new opportunity to grow, to challenge yourself, and to pray, of course, but also just to be better than what you were yesterday. And I think whenever you're owning where you are, it becomes your reality,
mm-hmm.
and you're able to accept it and find a way to get through it or get out of it. And some things you can't avoid it. Some things you can't hide it. Some things you can't, you know, like just pray it away. Some things you just have to get through it. Cause that's part of the process.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Well, as we come to a close, man, I know you gave me some flowers in the beginning, but of course, want to give you your flowers as well. Because, you know, as I always say, not only have you continued to make an impact on my life, but you continue to make an impact on others on this platform, in the classroom, in your business. And I know you're going to go touch some folks as you take this trip internationally in the next few weeks. So looking forward to that experience for you, hearing about the experience, but very excited for how it's going to continue to shape you and others. So, but for everyone back home, thank you for tuning in. And as we always say, it's the power of a growth mindset, and it all starts with you.